Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear.
Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. As always, this show is proudly brought to you in partnership with brands we truly believe represent the very best the outdoor industry has to offer. Before we get started, we want to give a huge shout out to Moultrie, Ula's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pimp Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Briley's in Houston, Texas, and last but not least, the good folks over at Retail USA. Thank you for making us feel like family and for building some of the best shotguns on the market. From trail camera to elevate your scouting experience, to shotguns, archery setups, apparel, and scent control. These are the brands we trust, brands we use, and brands we're proud to stand behind. I also want to send a heartfelt thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. Whether you've been here since day one or you're just tuning in, your support means the world to us. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your boy, C. Will.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I've got a super special guest on today from Liberty, Mississippi, Sherelle Anderson. Is that right? Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Found her on TikTok. She goes by Outdoor Girl on TikTok. The first video I seen, as we were just talking about, she's talking about her favorite gun being a 6.5 Creedmoor. And everybody knows how I feel about a 6.5 Creedmoor. I've had it. I've said it plenty of times on here. So we're going to get into that eventually on this podcast. But first off, thank you for hopping on here and getting on my podcast. I appreciate you and everything.
No problem.
So first off, let's just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got started in the outdoors.
Okay, people, so I'm Sherelle Anderson. I'm from Liberty, Mississippi. I'm an outdoor girl who ride horses, work cattle. I hunt deer, hog, trap coons. I do a little bit of everything. My outdoor life started when I was a little girl, and I was with my dad all the time, and he would be like, come with me to trap these hogs, or come with me to check the hog trap, or come set these coon traps with me, come do this, come do that. It was basically like a command. It wasn't a question. I had no choice but to go and learn, because hey, you never know when you might need those skills or when you might need to pull them out. So yeah, I mean, I can't say I didn't have the balls back then, because I didn't. I was a little scared, I can't lie, but now I go out there by myself most of the time and do it. So
that's what's up. So you started at a young age, like right. Most of us did, especially being down there in the South, man. It seemed like most of your Southern people that grew up, especially in like a rural setting, country setting, you know, that's what they grew up in. So that's dope.
Yeah, you see some of everything down here, like for real.
Yeah. How old are you?
18.
You're 18, so you're still pretty young. Yeah, that's super dope. You know, when you, as you get older, you know, if you have, you know, get married, have kids, you can pass that down to your kids as well. And
your kids in the picture, ain't worried about them. No, I didn't. Uh-uh.
Yeah, you say
stay
that.
Where they get.
You say that now. I was the same way at 18. Trust me. Yeah, and I got an 8 year old now. You know, it's, you know, it went fast. You know, but you know, I wouldn't trade him for nothing. But he's getting to the point now where, you know, anything daddy does outside, he wants to go outside. So if I'm shooting my bow, if I'm outside shooting my guns, whatever, mm-hmm. he's wanting to be outside with me. So it's kind of cool to see him follow me like I used to follow my dad, you know.
Yeah, and that's sort of like my niece. My niece always says she want to be like me whenever she grow up. But when I bring her out here and do stuff, she's scared. I'm looking like, how you want to be like me, but you're scared?
Yeah, it's, and I know a lot of people up here, you know, where I live, you got a few females, you know, tagging along, you know, beside their dad, but you know, 9 times out of 10, it's the son. So it's cool to see, you know, the girls behind their dad or their mom, you know, doing it just to give a different type of, you know, perspective, especially, you know, once they get older, they can pass it down to their daughters or whatever. So, you know, and that's what kind of drew me to you when I seen you on, you know, TikTok, because I was like, okay, I want to get like a female's perspective on the outdoors and like what got her into it. Because, you know, males, we all got pretty much the same story just about, but like sometimes a female maybe got into it late or something like that. So, but yeah, I appreciate it. So moving on. So the first time, I guess, so being you're still young though, but I guess, have you ever felt a time where you felt that you didn't belong in the outdoor space?
Not really. I mean, I was born around it. Like whenever my grandma would have me on the weekends, I would be out there with her and feeding up. She would have me toting me in her arm out there feeding up on her farm. And then she would have me on the tractor. She's out there working the hayfield. So I mean, I just kind of got used to it, but no.
I got you. Okay. So let me ask this question. Have you ever felt like up to this point that you had to prove yourself a little more being a black female in the outdoors where you live or just posting on TikTok or whatever?
I mean, yeah, because it's not a lot of people my age that do the stuff I do. So, I mean, I try to put that out there. Like, if you want to step up and become an outdoor girl, it's not nothing much to. Like, I'm at the point to where I'm going to teach others, like, come out your shell. That's what I had to do because I was scared to post on TikTok at first. Then whenever I started blowing up, I was like, okay, I could do this.
Yeah. So what had you scared? Why were you scared to post on?
Like, if you know me, you know I have low self-confidence. And whenever I was in seventh grade, my teacher told me that I need to work on my self-confidence because I would always doubt myself. And, yeah, I just took a risk. And
I get that because, I mean, growing up where I grew up, it's country. We're backwoods. But, you know, I was the only black kid on all my sports teams growing up. And, like, once I got to college, I felt like I needed to find like a new identity. Mm-hmm. So I was hanging out, like they're still my boys to this day, but they're all from like big cities. Like I was the only country boy. So I was trying to fit in with them. And I kind of forgot like where I come from there for mm-hmm. a while. So it was like probably our second year in. It was right around deer season. And I hadn't been hunting the whole time I'd been in college. And I was just biting at the bit to get back out there. And I told him, I finally told him, I said, look, this is what I do. I'm country as hell. He was like, man, we knew you was country, man. Like, listen to you. He's like, we already knew that. Like, we was just waiting on you to tell us.
Huh.
And so I finally, you know, came out of my shell and, you know, just started being me again, you know. You know, I'd be freezing in the summer, you know, in the wintertime, trying to, you know, wear my Jordans and he's staying jackets, trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I had to bring the Carhartts and stuff back out. You know, I was getting too cold. But had the country boy came back out of me. So I get, you know, a lot of people being scared because of the backlash and whatever. And to be honest, like, I've gotten more, you know, backlash from people that look like me than anybody else. So I don't know how that's been for you, but, you know, I get the whole, you know, you're trying to be white, you know.
Well, see, it's the opposite for me. I have more support from these people than my own color. So it's the opposite for me.
Man, yeah, it's crazy, man. And I don't understand it because, like, you know, everybody's different. That's what makes, you know, I guess America great, because everybody's got their own little style. You know, nobody wears the same type clothes. You know, nobody wears the same type shoes, whatever. Everybody's got their own little style, you know, right. And everybody does something different. So I'm like, when I tell you I hunt, I fish, I'm an outdoorsman, they automatically think, oh, that's a white boy sport. Why are you trying to be white?
No, it's not. But hey, this world that we live in, we get overlooked because mostly those people do that type of stuff. But no.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen it growing up. Because, I mean, where you're from, you've seen, you know, people that look like you doing what you was doing. You know, I seen me and my dad and my uncles doing it as, you know, I was growing up. But, like, the when you look on TV, you don't see us a lot. Why do you think that is?
Who? That's a good question. I really never just thought about it. I guess people never just wanted to take the extra step and come out. I really don't know.
Yeah. So my dad always had a saying, people are scared of what they don't know. Especially where I grew up. So my dad, me, and my uncle was the only like three black people that I knew that hunted, you know, that were of African-American descent or whatever. When people realized that's what we did, you know, we were always out in the woods or always out on a lake somewhere, you know, they would kind of look at us all crazy. Like, why are y'all out here? Dad's like, we're out here fishing. It's like, oh, black people don't do that type of thing. And daddy said, well, I'm black. You know, I do this type of thing. My son does, my brother-in-law. And I don't know where down the road it became like a white thing, if that makes sense. Because that's what everybody in the outdoors, it seems like, when they tell you, hey, I hunt, hey, I fish, it's like, why do you want to do that white boy stuff for? Like, but if you go back in time, you know, back in the day, we had to hunt and fish for a living. You know, some of the first guides that were ever out with Lewis and Clark, Daniel Boone, they were black. I think Teddy Roosevelt had a black guy. Like, we've been out here for a long time. You know, the first cowboys were black. You know, we've been out here for a while doing this, but at some point it changed where it was like, you know, we don't want to give them the recognition, and they just took off with it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So my goal with this, you know, this podcast, my brand, was to just kind of showcase, you know, we do this too. You know, we're out there, we're grinding just like y'all are. I got the same passion as you. I'm just a little bit dark.
Correct.
So, you know, it is what it is, but I think it's changing a little bit in the outdoor industry where we're kind of getting a little more recognition, you know, especially with like the 24/7 Hot Boys. They, you know, they're real big with Sitka and, you know, Migra and some of these different big brands, Yeti or whatever. So I think that's kind of changing the narrative a little bit too.
Yeah. And Rain Outdoors.
Rain's a beast. She just got a deal, I think, with
the fishing company.
Yeah. That fish was
She Fish.
Yeah. She Fish. Yeah. Yeah. That's super dope to see that.
Yeah. It is. I'm looking at those reels because I don't care what anybody say. I'm going to stick to my button fishing reel. I'm not good with a bait caster, the spinning combo, none of that. My button reel can catch just as many fish as those other reels can.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I grew up with, and then I went to a spinner, and then I tried the bait caster, but I can't keep it from bird nesting. So,
right, I ain't got time for all that backlash.
No, it's too much. But yeah, it's dope seeing people like her, you know, and K Black. Yeah, I mean, he's another one that I seen, you know, getting big in that, you know, the outdoor industry. I mean, there's a lot of up and coming people that's out there that just. I wish they would give more of us a chance to kind of showcase what we do and how we do it. Because, you know, we might do it a little different because, you know, us, you know, we got to put a little bit of swagger into our stuff. You know, we might wear camo to the club and some people don't, you know, some people don't like it, you know. Like, I don't know if you've seen the whole Jordan Realtree collaboration that they just came out with like around Christmas.
I've heard about it.
Man, if you got in them comments on Instagram and Facebook, and people were so mad. God, they was like, oh, we're turning this into a fashion show. I was like, man, like, who cares?
Yeah, but that's something they do not need to do. That's why I made my video about these non-country folks buying up all the camo. I kid you not. I couldn't buy no new camo. Like, seriously, I go to Walmart. Go to Walmart every time. They only had like 2XL large. I'm like, I cannot fit this. So whenever I made that video, I think Kimon reached out to me about that video, from that video. And then that's whenever, you know, did a little sponsor with him. And we went from there. But Lord, I hope they do not start this up again. Because if they do, we're going to have an issue. Like, seriously, I'm serious. This, it don't make no sense.
I mean, I see where you're coming from with that. But at the same time, like, I'm cool with it. You know, I mean, people, camo is camo. And if, like, my wife, she don't hunt, but she wears camouflage all the time with her Jordans. Like, I'm cool with that. But, like, it is frustrating when you go in a store and you can't find no camouflage in your size. And, you know, you seeing everybody walking around with, you know, all your camo right. stuff.
I was like, this the reason I can't find it. Like, it's crazy, man. I swear, I kid you not. Then I hate ordering online because I cannot get my sizes right. Then you have to ship stuff back. It's a headache.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, but I'm cool with it. I mean, everybody's got their own thing. Camo's kind of got, you know, to the point now where it is a fashion statement. But you know, us real hunters, I mean, it don't bother me. But I get from your perspective, and I've heard that from a lot of people because they go somewhere and can't find nothing. And
right.
I got to order my stuff online a lot of times because I'm a big guy. It's hard to find my size sometimes in the store. But when I do find it, it's getting bought. Like, my wife is like, this is getting ridiculous. You got too much stuff in here. Mm-hmm. So when I just don't know what I want to wear sometimes. Most of my stuff's in Bottomland because that's like my favorite pattern. But, I'm starting to wear some of the older Realtree stuff, some of the older Mossy Oak stuff with the green leaf and stuff like that, you know. So when's turkey season open up for y'all down there?
It's already open. I plan on going in the morning.
Man, how many of y'all get? Y'all get three, right?
Honestly, don't know. I'm new to it, so I'm just trying it out.
So you going by yourself or you going with somebody?
Oh, no, I'm going with someone.
Okay. I'm guessing they are seasoned or they knew like you?
They knew like me.
Oh, well, are y'all okay? How are y'all doing this? Y'all blind? Y'all hunting a blind? Y'all gonna stalk them? What y'all gonna do?
No, we're gonna be in the woods in the gonna be behind some little brush and wait till they come. We got a little collar, so
okay,
I'll try it out.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, turkeys can see very, very well.
I know, like, any little spot can throw them off. I'm going to be camo head to toe.
Yeah, like, it's bad. Like, they can see, like, if I just did this in the woods and a turkey's in front of me, he's gone.
And so, I know, we have pet turkeys, and they make so much noise. It's like, if you slam a door, say something to someone else, it's like, they...
uh-huh.
Like...
Yeah, well, I hope you get one. It's one of them things, man, once you kill your first one, it's basically a chess match between you and that tom because you're trying to sound like a hen and you're trying to get him to come to you. And
right.
So my last podcast, I don't know if you've seen it, with Stanley Williams. He's like the man when it comes to turkey hunting. He's a caller. He's from Georgia. He does competition calls and stuff like that. But he broke it down to a lot of people, because a lot of people call wrong. They call too long. They call too loud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm the guy that always has 5 to 6 different calls, because if they don't answer to one, they might answer to that other one. But if they don't answer, I'm gonna keep going through my vest until I find something they're gonna answer to.
Right. But
when you find that call that they're still gobbling to, don't change it. Like keep on going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get close, you know, if you hear them pretty close, you better get your gun or whatever you use. You better get it on your shoulder real fast. Cause they'll get there fast and they'll see you moving and they're gone. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. But hopefully, I'll be ready.
Yeah, you'll be good. I had a hunt one time, man. I went with a homeboy of mine. We're hunting, and he can do all the calls with his mouth. Like he's just that good. And he started calling. That bird seemed like it was 200 yards away, but he wasn't. He was probably like 50 yards, but he was down in like this holler. I said, he's going to come up this ridge. I said, we better be ready. He's like, oh no, man. He's like, we need to walk down a little farther. I said, no, we need to set up right here. I said, he's probably 50 yards away. He said, no, I mean, we need to walk. So we took off walking, and I'd be damned. We took probably 20 steps and there he was. Seen us, gone. I said, dude, I told you he was close. He said, I didn't realize he was that close. I said, man, they're in the woods. Everything echoes. I said, but if he's that close, I said, we need to set up back here, let him walk, come up here, and, you know, so we can bust him.
Right.
Anyone do it. Then I've had a hunt where we seen a bird probably 50 yards in front of me. My homeboy is up sneezing, and the bird flies off. I've had one where Dad starts coughing right in the middle of me about to pull the trigger on a bird, and he takes off. So I'm just like, bro, I ain't hunting with y'all no more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I hope y'all do get one, because it's one of them things, man. Like once you kill that first one, man, it's on and popping. I love deer hunting just as much as the next person. I love turkey hunting, but deer and ducks for me. I mean, I love turkey hunting too, but if I could just hunt one thing for the rest of my life, it'd be deer. So what's your favorite thing to hunt?
It's between deer and hog. Whenever that time come around for deer, like I spend most of my time in the woods from sun up to sundown. But hog, it's all around. So I gotta go with hog season.
That's what's up. So I was hoping to see some hogs while I was in Mississippi, but I didn't see any. But it was also, it was January, but the 2 days I went down there, it was 85 degrees both days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting in my blind in West Point with a t-shirt on, sweating to death. The day I left, the day I got in my truck, packed my truck and headed back to Kentucky, it was 25 degrees. And mm-hmm. I had to come home. So I'm hoping to go back down there around November, December, because I've never killed a hog and I would love to kill one.
It's fun.
I recently
just killed 16, if you saw my recent video.
Yeah, I seen that. That's insane.
Yeah, I guess I triggered a few people by the way I was throwing them out. But hey, I had to get it done some kind of way.
Man,
they just popped up like a little, like, I would say after deer season, I looked on the camera and I just saw 21 hogs. I was like, where did they come from? Because during deer season, I did not see not one. And so I looked on the camera. So that's we set the pig breed trap up. And it's like a net trap. And you space it out with T-posts and wrap around with straps and stuff. So how it works is that you bait it up under the net.
It's crazy.
And then once the pigs get used to coming under there, that's whenever you lure the net every couple of days or every few weeks or so. and lured it. And hey, they got under and they couldn't get back out. And I went out there. It was like maybe 9:15, 9:30. Went out there with that chopper and just went at it.
Man, 16's crazy.
I know, right?
That's dope. Do y'all hunt them at night as well down there, or you just hunt them during the day?
Just hunt up during the day. But like I said, they had went in the trap at night, and I was afraid that they would have been gone by that morning, so I just went out there. I do have a thermoscope on the AR, but I just don't go out there. But recently, I know it's like four more we have to catch, but they haven't been coming out, so.
Man, that's dope, man. Yeah, I'd love to get. My homeboy said the place that we were hunting, in West Point, had plenty of pigs. And I've probably seen one, but I didn't ever see one.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I was really wanting to see a pig more than a deer, but you know, because I went on a hog hunt with my boy in Texas. Shout out to Chris. I don't know if you follow Hoodneck on Instagram, but you need to follow him. He's dope. He had just got these thermoscopes in, and he didn't sight them in right. So we missed two hogs about 60 yards with these guns. And I'm like, bro, I don't miss with a rifle. And he's like, well, you just missed twice. And I said, man, something wrong with these guns. And he's like, man, it's, you know, the next day he called me. He was like, yeah, I don't think I sighted the man right. So I need to either get back down to Texas, Mississippi, somewhere, because I need to get a hog this year. So hopefully I'm going to get back down there. But just moving on a little bit. What's one hunt that you've been on so far in your 18 years of living that you'll never forget, whether it's a hog hunt, a deer hunt, whatever?
My very first hunt, I kid you not, I was maybe like 11. I had this brand new gun, 22-250. If you know that gun, you know that's the fastest gun.
Yeah.
But luckily, we was in a box stand. And I kid you not, this was my first hunt. I didn't see anything. And I was getting out the stand, me and my dad. He was like, man, we get out this stand. Be careful with that gun. Do not bump it. Do not drop it. I said, okay, brand new strap and everything. Okay, and we parked the bike maybe like 70 yards from the stand, like around the corner. And got out there. He walked in front of me. Boom. He said, didn't I say don't drop the gun? I said, I didn't. And so he was like, give me that gun. So he picked it up off the ground. We got on the floor, but I didn't talk till we made it home. And so whenever he checked out the gun, I was looking at it and I was like, did I drop? He was like, no, the strap broke. I said, okay. He said, yeah, I got to get a new strap. I said, okay. So like a couple of days later, we went to the same spot. We had baited up good. Then we didn't do no calls or anything, but those stepped out. He was like, if nothing else come out, you're going to shoot it. I said, okay. And this was like 4:50-ish. It wasn't past 5. I was like, Doe came out there eating some rye grass. She haven't made it to the corn yet. So she was easing her way to the corn. Sorry, ease your gun out there. And when you're ready, pull the trigger. Do not yank on it. I said, okay. Pull the trigger back. I missed. He said, how do you miss that deer? That deer right there. Where you tried to aim? I said, the nigga said, shoot that deer behind the front show. I said, okay. So I'm looking through the scope. Shot the deer behind the front shoulder. She dropped. We up in there celebrating, high-fiving, feasible. Next thing you know, we look the deer out there. So we still celebrating. He was like, I did it. Next thing you know, we look up, deer gone. And so they were like, no, she probably out there laying down. It's okay. I said, all right. He said, stay here. I'm going to go out there and look. I said, okay. I stayed in the box. Then he got out, went out there. And I saw him walking around, walking this way, walking that way. We were like, don't tell me this deer done got up. Because, like, we were so distracted by celebrating. We did not see this deer go anywhere. We watched the drop. Next thing you know, we looked back up again. She was gone. He took forever going to look for it. And I was like, you saw in the blood? He was like, no. I said, well, you tell me she gone? He was like, yeah. He said, we're going to come back tomorrow. Ethan got too dark. We're going to come back tomorrow and look. And I said, well, no sign of that deer. But I'm telling you, she dropped. She dropped. I'm telling you, she did. And not going to lie, that happened a couple other times with some deers out of shot. It left a blood trail. But I never did find a deer, but it left a blood trail. But like you say, that gun was so fast, the deer didn't even realize they were hit 2 seconds later. And so I had to put that gun down. But those hunts, I will never forget. I remember them like yesterday.
You sure you was using that 22-250 and not that 6.5 Creedmoor, right?
I'm positive. I'm 100% positive. It was that 22-250, and I still have it.
Yeah, my 22-250 I usually use for coyote hunting up here because, you know, that fast cartridge. But that's a perfect segue into this 6.5 Creedmoor conversation.
Man, listen, that 6.5 never let me down. It's been true to me, and I'm going to stay true to you. I'm not switching. I'm just not. I mean, it never let me down, man. It shoots so flat. I promise you it does. I have my range finder, and if I see a deer out there, I'll get that range finder out 325 yards. I move that crosshair up, pop it, and it drop.
That's what's up. So for all the listeners out there, this woman might be the only person in the world that has never lost a deer with 6.5 Creedmoor.
And then that's the truth. That's the truth. My trophy 8-point that I killed here in January, dropped it right in this foot. Still did a neck shot.
Yeah, because I'm, like I was telling you off camera, I've lost 4 with a 6.5. My homeboy Anthony, AT2, shout out to Anthony because he's in West Point. I think he's in West Point. He lost one at like 20 yards. I don't know where, I'm talking about there was blood everywhere. And I don't know where that deer went. We searched and searched and searched. Even went back that morning and couldn't find it. So I don't know. But like I said, everybody's got their caliber that they love. You know, I'm a 308 guy. You know, that's what I grew up shooting. But why did you choose a 6.5 over all the other calibers that are out there?
Because I never did have any good luck with a 30-06 or a 308. I shot a doe, shot behind the front shoulder. Same thing like you said with the 6.5. Shot behind the front shoulder, blood trail, never did find it. Never did.
Well,
I went from a 22-250 to a 22-250 to a 30-06 to a 308 to a 6.5.
Okay. So the 30-06 and the 308, they didn't, a lot of people say, you know, the 6.5 don't kick at all. Neither does the 22.
It don't.
But like when you get up to them 30 caliber, you know, the 30-06, 308, 300 windbag, they got a little bit of kickback to it. A lot of people don't like that. So is that kind of one of the reasons you wanted the 6.5?
No, not really. I mean, that don't bother me at all.
Well, that's good. I can't believe you didn't have no luck with no 308 or 30-06s, man. It kind of hurts my heart.
He'll be all right. I'm going to leave that for them other folks. I'll leave that for them other folks. Because, like, whenever I made my video, I got a lot of backlash saying, they was like, yeah, the 6.5 is good for if you're shooting coyotes or if you hunting bobcats. Or they was like, yeah, 6.5 is great for a woman that's scared of kick, get a 45-70, get a 300 Win Mag and all this. I was like, you know what? It is what it is.
I'm glad you've had success with it. I never did. But like I said, I might not be the greatest shot either, but I feel like I am. you ain't lost none. You know, you got them bragging rights over the rest of us. So
that's right.
So yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, that's cool, man. So growing up in Mississippi as a female, you know, black hunter, what do you want, like, young black girls to see when they come across your page on TikTok?
That I do it all and that they can, too. Like, I put certain stuff out there for a reason, just for them to try. Like, my recent video of them starting a weed eater. Like, I know there's plenty of people out there that do not know how to start a weed eater and that they hire people to do their lawn care. Like, you can save money by doing that yourself. There's really nothing to it at all. Like, there's no reason to be scared. You can do this just as well as I can too.
No, for sure. Yeah. And that's the good thing about, I guess, social media. That's one of the good things. You know, there's a lot of bad about social media too, but like, you know, young girls, young kids see, you know, my podcast, you know, see you on TikTok, you know, see some of other buddies that got, you know, podcast and just see them posting stuff. You know, they might not think they can do it, but then they see us and they're like, oh, like we can do that. And it just kind of gives them something else to do. Cause like my dream and my goal is to like get a lot of indoor, like a lot of youth, at risk youth, you know, in different cities like Memphis, you know, Baltimore, you know, people that are kids that are in trouble, basically. Bus them into Kentucky, teach them how to shoot a gun, teach them how to shoot a bow, how to change a tire, how to tie a tie. You know, just teach them, you know, life lessons. So when they go back home, like they got something else that could possibly keep them out of the street, keep them out of jail, or keep them out of the cemetery. And they might be able to pass that down to their kids or their little brother or somebody like that. In that aspect of things, what does representation mean to you? I'm in the outdoors.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't go by being, how can I say this? Okay, so in the outdoor, I try to put myself as being not professional, but for who I am. Then, like, whenever I give off my energy, I want to give off, like, a cool girl. Like, I don't want to give off, like, bougie or this and that. Like, for my representation, I want to give it off as clean. I don't know. I'm bad at explaining stuff.
It's it. Like, you don't want people to think that you, like you said, bougie, highfalutin or whatever. Like, you want to, you know, the cool girl. Like, you know, like Rain. Like, you know, every time her video, like she's, you know, she makes you laugh, you know.
Yeah, and I have a friend girl. She came across a video one time. She sent this to me. She was like, girl, I'm going to stop this with you. I was like, no, it wasn't. But we do the same stuff. But no, that's not me. That's not me.
Y'all do kind of have, well, she's got that, you know, that South Carolina accent. But I mean, you can tell like generationally, I guess, from somebody from the South and somebody from the North, like just by the way they talk. And I was like, as soon as I seen you, I said, she's got to be from like Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama or somewhere, just the way, you know, she talks.
Yeah. On one of my TikToks, someone slid up and they was like, you're from Georgia because you have a Georgia accent. I was like, no.
Yeah. And y'all got that whole, it's a different world down there, which, you know, I didn't realize, man, like we went to a gas station in West Point and I'm starving. I'm hungry. I'm like, man, ain't no food places here. I got there late and I pulled up to this gas station. There's this old black lady back there. And I'm talking about it's enough food to feed an army. And so I'm like, you can get food at gas stations down here? And he said, bro, some of the best food in the world is at these gas stations. And I was like,
yeah.
You can get food at gas stations in Kentucky, you might have food poisoning for about 3 days. And I'm talking,
well, let me tell you, it can be an Iran store, but one thing, they have those black cooks in there and they know how to cook.
Man, yeah. I forgot what that woman's name was, she told me, but she said, if you want it fresh, I can make it fresh. If you don't want it, she's like, I have it. She's like, this is good stuff, though. She's like, it's only been in here for like 30 minutes. And I was like, yeah, let me get some of that. So I got mashed potatoes, gravy, macaroni and cheese. No, I was like, man, I can get this at a gas station. This is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you don't, I mean, it's like I said, it's a different world down there. The slang is different down there than it is up here. People, usually from like city to city, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Memphis, you definitely know that Memphis accent. Atlanta, you know, just it's cool to see that all that just kind of come like full circle going to all these different places, you know. But you always know a Southerner anytime you anytime you come up on one. So, but do you think the outdoor industry is changing? And if so, is it changing in the good way or the bad way that you think for us?
As in color?
Yes, as in African-American people of color.
Yeah, it's changing. Like I say, I mostly be on TikTok when I'm not doing anything, and I scroll, I see more people of us color coming out doing it, and they might not have a lot of views or a lot of likes, but they being consistent with what they do. And I mean, it's good to come out and show the people that you're interested in it. So I mean, it's changing. It's definitely changing.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's changing, and I think it's changing in a good way. Some people say it's changing in a bad way, but I feel like more brands are wanting to take chances on us.
But then I do think that some brands are in competition because this brand may have what this brand doesn't, and the demand of this may be so high, but the other store might have it at a cheaper price. So I think it's more competition between brands itself.
Yeah, I can see that. And I can also see brands, say one brand brings you on to represent their company. Another brand sees that, so they go out and try to find their, you know, token, you know,
right,
and playing that game, you know, and that can be a dangerous game to play. But I feel like all the brands that I've seen so far, they're genuine in what they're doing. They actually believe in what we're doing, and you know, as long as we can keep showcasing what we're doing and, you know, doing it for the company, I think we'll be fine. But it'll be a matter of time for people's reaching out to you if you keep on doing what you're doing, because your TikTok's dope. So
yeah, my goal is 10,000 followers before the year's over with. But I'm just posting, but I'm not getting the views that I used to have. So
I mean, you will. I mean, how many times do you post a day?
Just once. Yeah.
Bump that up to two times or three times a day and see what happens.
But then I thought you don't want to spam it, though.
Man, so, you know, Trent Ellis, you know that guy? Have you ever seen him?
No, I don't think so.
So he's from Mississippi, too. He's like he's a comedian. Mm-hmm. Ginger, I'll have to send you his profile here in a little bit. But he's like a comedian. He posts like three times a day. When he started posting like once, he's like, he wasn't really getting the views that he was, said he, you know, wanted to get. And then he started posting twice a day. Then he started posting three times a day. And he felt, you know, he found that three times a day was like his sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was the same way, because I usually only post maybe once, maybe twice a day. Most of the time it's once, but I'm like you, I don't want to post something like in the morning and then post something in the afternoon, because I felt like
right,
the first one I post is not going to get the views that whatever, but it works for some people and work, you know, it don't work for some people, but it, I mean, it's something I would try at least. But consistency is the key. I tell everybody that, you know, take a week off, you know, the algorithm's going to change. And you might post something and somebody might not see it. So if you're posting every day, keep posting. Keep the content, you know, as clean as you can. But, right, you know, keep you in it. Like your personality and everything, you know, be genuine. Don't try to fake nothing. Just be you. That's what I tell everybody. No sponsors will come. Well, I wouldn't even be worried about sponsors. But if you want 10,000 by the end of the year, how many you got right now?
5,500 and something.
All right, we just in March, so yeah, you're good. You'll probably be way over there by January of next year.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Well, so what's next for you? I guess with your TikTok platform, or you know, like your social media, your hunts. Like, what's What's your 5-year goal? What's your 10-year goal?
5-year goal. Hopefully I can be monetized off TikTok, because I think once you reach 10K and have like 100,000 views, you start getting paid. But like I said, I've only been live once, but I had joined someone else live. But other than that, I mean, 5-year goal, I will hope to have as 3 times as many followers as I have now.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can start doing collabs with people within the 5 to 10 year. I just want to be big. Like, I don't want that famous. Like, I don't want to be famous, but I want to be known, if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying. But usually being known, that fame comes with, you know.
Yeah, but.
You know, but I get you want to still be able to go to Walmart or whatever and not be.
Right.
You know.
Right. Oh, my God. Are you outdoor girl? No, like.
Yeah. I get that. There's a lot of people I've met, you know. I go to the NWTF down in Nashville every year, you know, the Wild Turkey Federation. And there's so many people. There's probably 100,000 people this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first year that I've been there that somebody actually recognized who I was. And it was a couple people, actually. And I was just like, you know me? And they're like, uh-huh. Yeah, I follow you on Instagram. I follow you on TikTok. I'm like, man, all these people in here, and you know who I am? I was like, that's dope. It just makes you feel a certain way. So, you know, once you get to that, you know, I hope you get to that point, you know, and, you know, start getting this stuff monetized or whatever. And then maybe one day that's what you can do for a living. Like a lot of these, you know, people do. They hunt for a living, they travel, make content, you know, that's dope. You know, I wish I could do it right now, you know, instead of going to school teaching every day, but maybe one day I can just be, you know, hunting for a living. So I hope that works out for you.
Yeah, that remind me of one day I was in the cab with some friends, and my friend homeboy, she was talking to him. And so whenever I turned around, he was like, hey, ain't you that outdoor girl? One of your TikToks just popped up on my phone. And I was like, yeah. Then my friend, she had started laughing. She was like, oh my God, y'all real TikTok famous. I was like, y'all so silly.
But yeah, it'll be, you know, your time will come. Just keep posting, stay consistent. And you got my information if I can help you in any way along the way. If you got any questions, like I said, I ain't big by no means. I've had a lot of help along the way from a lot of people. Nowhere near as big as I'd like to be. You know, people recognize me for my podcast, and I'm really not doing it for the fame.
Mm-hmm.
I like stories. I like listening to people's stories. I like to hear, you know, how they grew up, where they grew up, how they got into the industry and stuff like that. You know, I like the storytelling. You're from Macomb, Mississippi. I don't know if you've mm-hmm. heard of Jerry Cloud before.
Or you? Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we used to listen to him a lot when we were stripping tobacco. And, mm-hmm. you know, listening to some of his stories. And I think that's where my love of stories come from, especially listening to him, my grandmother, my grandfather. So I think that's where my love of stories and storytelling comes from. And, you know, that's kind of why I started a podcast, is to listen to all those people and get their opinions about stuff. And, you know, here we are. Good luck to you. And I appreciate you hopping on. And this portion is what I like to call rapid fire. I'm going to ask you about five questions. And whatever the first thing that comes to your mind, go with it.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay.
It's easy stuff. I'm not going to try to bust your head. It's just whatever comes to your mind. All right. Deer hunting or hog hunting?
Deer. Oh, no. No, hog.
Okay. Early mornings or late in the evenings?
Late in the evening.
Okay. Cold weather or hot weather hunts?
Cold weather.
Okay. 6.5 Creedmoor or 308? All right, no answer.
6.5. 6.5.
Who's your dream person that you'd like to go hunting with?
Ooh. Man, that's a good one. Um,
I got her stuff.
I never thought of them.
One person in the whole world was like, hey, I'm about to take, you know, let's go hunting. Who you picking?
Does it have to be like a big time person?
No, it could be anybody.
I really don't know. The only two people that I really know him besides family is like Rain and Kimon, so I say between those two.
Okay, that's cool. All right, the last one. If you could go hunt anywhere for anything, where are you going and what you hunting? Money is no object.
I say Arkansas and deer.
Okay, well, deer hunter, I get it.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. So how can people, you know, get a hold of you or follow your content? Like, what's your, are you just on TikTok or are you on other platforms as well?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok. I'm not too much on Twitter. I have an IG. I don't be active on it a lot, and I do not post, like, my content on TikTok from there. So mainly just TikTok, honestly, http.r3ll.
Okay.
And my IG is IIMR3LL.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Follow her on TikTok. She's got some dope content. Hopefully, you know, she gets as big as she wants to get and, you know, share this so she can get her likes up, she can get her followers up so she can get to 10K by the end of the year.
Yes, most definitely. I need that.
I'll post some clips of this conversation when it comes out. I'll probably post like 1 to 3, depending on what week it comes out. So I'll try to tag you and all of them on TikTok and everything so people can follow along and watch this podcast and everything like that. So
okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for hopping on. And if I can do anything for you along the way, man, just reach out, just holler, and I'll do the best I can.
Okay, we'll do.
Sounds good. Well, if I see we do the
doors.
Big game, small game, all game. We do this too.
That's right.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome.